Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hi, this is Billie Jean King.
This is Marion Bartoli.
I'm Mats Wilander.
This is Mary Carillo.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
This is Yannick Noah, and you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to day 4 of the French Open. This is the second time we've recorded this intro. The first time, David confessed pretty late in the game that he hadn't heard a word I'd said, and his intention was just to carry on.
Just I rather gave the
ignoring
game
away. Me and saying what he damn well pleased.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm back in the game now, Catherine, so you can carry on.
He's in the game. The good news is that the interminable round one has ended, all 3 days of it, and we're now into a normally structured 2 days per round, one half of the draw one day, the other half of the day, the other half of the draw the next situation. We've had half, or almost half, because as we record, Tommy Paul is a set apiece against Daniil Medvedev, although looking like he's played 9 sets already today, so I'd be surprised if that resulted in an upset, as David predicted. But yeah, as we come to you, we have completed half of the second round matches and we all know where we are and it feels good.
And I feel like I need a T-shirt. I survived round one of the 2021 French Open because that was a long 3 days. But finally we're into round two. And as you said, the draws are taking shape, actually. I think some real patterns are beginning to develop and some storylines, and we sort of know where we stand with this tournament now. So, yeah, I thought it was a good day.
As you said, Matt, it's been a long 3 days. The screen that I'm looking at, the camera zeroed in on Daniil Medvedev, and it was as if Medvedev was trying to create a GIF for you in that moment to illustrate exactly what a long 3 days it's been. He took an enormous swig of water. I tell you what, both Medvedev and Tommy Paul look absolutely out on their feet after sort of less than an hour of tennis. Not sure what's going on out there. He took this big gulp of water. His sort of comb over hairdo is sort of slicked across his forehead with sweat. And he had this sort of slack jawed hangdog thing going on with his face, and it painted a very, very apt picture, I think.
Yes, I think it did. It must be really humid in Paris. It's really humid here in the UK at the moment. I think we've had a thunderstorm where I am in Solihull, and in Paris it does look like they were due to have the same today, weren't they? And the night session match, I don't know what it is about it under the lights. It probably brings out that glistening sweat on the brow of Medvedev all the more. But he's got himself together, hasn't he? Because he lost that first set and then he's just running away with it now, sadly, for my predictions. But there we are.
Yeah, well, assuming he does run away with it and Tommy Paul doesn't get a set, I mean, I think he'd need sort of 14 wins by the looks of how he's looking physically just at the moment. But assuming Medvedev does accelerate towards the finish line, it has been a dark, dark day for our predictions. The landscape, the predictions landscape has been a desolate one for us today.
Pretty standard, really.
It's, I mean, it started with me picking a match that wasn't even on the schedule.
I think there should be some sort of penalised.
I think so too. We've all let Matt get off the hook rather easily for that one. Went out in the newsletter and everything.
I blame, as you said, the 3-day round one. I don't know which side of the draw anything is on.
Yes. It was an omen of things to come. I went for Martina Trevisan, who lost out in a tight three-setter. I think she was a breakup. In fact, I know she was a breakup in the third because I was following that very, very closely indeed. But Saronika Steyer won through. David had inexplicably Tommy Paul in this match. Little did he know that Medvedev is feeling great on clay at the moment. Looking forward to quotes of that nature coming out following this match.
The problem is, though, it's not fair because Medvedev's being sarcastic sometimes and honest other times, and I don't know which one's which anymore.
So, he's keeping us on our toes, isn't he?
It's very good. I like it. And anyway, this match isn't over yet. It is when you all listen. anyway, we're sat here and we don't know.
Assuming that Medvedev comes through, it's been a good day for the top seeds and the title contenders at the tournament, I think. Medvedev TBC, but there's been no real upsets today. I'd say only Belinda Bencic, the 10th seed, was the real sort of big one to fall. But even then, she...
How is she 10th seed? where are those points come from? I mean, I know we've had a ranking for about 2 years, but still.
Yeah, 2019, she had a really good season, and most of those points are still on her ranking. But it does feel like she shouldn't be the 10th seed.
Going to drop to 464 in the world in about 3 weeks.
She lost out to Daria Kazatkina, who's been in a quarterfinal of the French Open before, and has... I know she's won a title this year, but she's been in the wilderness relatively since that breakout season when she did reach the quarterfinal. I think, what was that, 4 years ago now? And she looks to be, I'm wary of saying sort of close to her best because I can't quite remember her best. It was, you know, really was a little while ago, but she looked seriously good today, I thought, Kazatkina.
She looked all right in that tournament. I predicted she'd win at the earlier part of this year. That's a quality eye roll, Catherine. But I also saw her when she lost to Arina Sabalenka the other week. And it was if there are players she's up against that give her time to play, and if she's on her game, she's one of the best sights in the sport to watch. But I do think you can just stop that happening if you hit the ball hard enough.
Yeah, that's pretty much my assessment. I very briefly hovered over her when we were doing our predictions because she's in a very open section of the draw, and because, as you said, she'd had a really strong start to the season, a couple of titles, one in Australia, one in St. Petersburg. So I knew she had some form, but then I looked up her form on clay and there was nothing to speak of. She hadn't won back-to-back matches on clay all season. And as David said, she took that heavy defeat to Sabalenka in Madrid. I mean, everyone did, to be fair, other than Barty, who pushed her in the final. But she also lost to Pegula in Rome. And I watched a bit of that, and Jessie Pegula was another one who just was able to hit through her. So I didn't go with Kazatkina in the end, but... My goodness, she was good today. She's the embodiment of sort of no two shots the same, no two balls the same. The variety within a point is remarkable. You know, it's a moon ball one, it's a flat backhand the next, it's a short angle next, it's a drop shot, it's a slice forehand, it's a foray forward. She can do everything. And I thought she was really, really brilliant against Bencic today. And that result was so much more about Kazatkina being brilliant than it was Bencic having a bad day.
Just to row back somewhat, did you say Jessie Pegula? Is that what we're supposed to call her now?
I think I did say that. I don't know. I'm feeling bad for saying it now.
No, is that a thing you've heard? Or
I'm sure I must have heard it.
genuine question. Is this a Jen, Jenny, Jennifer Brady situation? A Seb, Sebby, Sebastian Corder situation? There's increasingly many of them, and I'd appreciate some clarity on all fronts.
No, I think you're right to pick me up on it. I think she is still Jessica. I think I've lapsed into over-familiar.
Well, I didn't mean to pick you up on it. I was genuinely curious about what we should be going with. Anyway, it is an interesting section of the draw. Obviously, the sort of the biggest women's match of the day involved Serena Williams, and we'll talk about that and look ahead a little bit to her next match against Danielle Collins, which I'm very much here for. But that section of the draw. So today we had a win for Katerina Siniakova against Kudermetova, 7-5 in the third for Siniakova there, and she had trailed by how much in the deciding set?
I think at one point she was 5-2 down, and she certainly was match point down at 5-3 in the deciding set. I mean, that match had everything. And basically, when I say everything, I mean aggro, because it was wonderful. I wasn't watching it live when it happened, but I saw that people were talking about it, and I went back to watch the moment. Siniakova was a set and 4-3 up, and Kudermetova served out wide, and you saw the line judge behind Siniakova put out her arm to say that it was out, and presumably called it out as well. But you couldn't really hear that because Siniakova had grunted when she'd returned the ball. But the point carried on, and Kudermetova won it, and Siniakova said, well, the line judge called it out. Umpire, why didn't you stop the point? Why didn't you check the mark? Why should I have to stop the point if the line judge has called it out? Anyway, a big argument ensued between both of them, and it really affected Siniakova for a long period. I thought she'd gone, to be honest. She lost the second set. When she came back at the start of the third, she had the supervisor out and she was talking to him. And then Kudermetova took that lead, as I described, in the third set, only for Siniakova to come storming back and win it. I mean, it was a match of great defiance from her, I thought, kind of against all those odds, with everything, I think, in her own head conspiring against her. She's sneaky good, Siniakova.
And in that section of the draw with her, I'm talking big, big section here, quarter even, we've got Vondroušová, who was brilliant today. She beat Harmony Tan in just her second match on the Philippe Chatrier court, which is extraordinary for a former finalist. Have we been underestimating Markéta Vondroušová by not even including her in the conversation?
The thing is, it's never been a question of her potential, her ability. She showed that year she reached the final of Roland Garros, and I always think of her in the match she played in Rome shortly before that, interestingly enough, against Daria Kasatkina, when they played just the most wonderful demonstration of variety between them in a match that started with zero spectators, then a centre court emptied, and then they all ended up just sort of walking on by and getting interested in this match. And suddenly it was like there were two Italians going head-to-head. Such was the interest in the match. But I think if you look at the rest of the last year and a half or whatever, Vondroušová has done nothing, really. I mean, I think she's had injuries too, but she's lost heavily to people that you would expect her to be able to push in the last however many months. The matches I've seen, tournaments I've seen, you've looked at these lopsided score lines, and so I honestly just thought she just doesn't have any form. And I think you'll feel like you've got to have some form coming in. But my word, can she turn it on when she starts to feel good? And because she's a lefty, with those angles that provides, and she's an elaborate one as well, really sort of loopy ground strokes and drop shots as well, it's a really tough cocktail for opponents to deal with, I think, when she's playing well. So a lot of it's in her court, so to speak.
I think she's also possibly slightly overlooked because she drew Iga Swiatek in the first round of the French Open last year. So she's actually lost to the eventual champion at the last two French Opens. So it has taken a great performance to beat her at Roland Garros, something, as David said, she seems to grow when she arrives at at Roland Garros. And yeah, she's looked good so far. And given, as we're talking about, she's in this section of the draw, I think we have to be talking about her.
Well, in that section with her is Paola Badosa, who won today 2-0 over Danka Kovanec. Definite eyes emoji on Paola Badosa. So that means that one of Zidancic, Siniakova, Sironika Steya, Daria Kazatkina, Polona Herzog, who beat Caroline Garcia today, Vondroušová, Badosa and Anna Bogdan will be a semi-finalist at Roland Garros.
Billie Jean's into that.
Yeah, we've already had to stop and edit out several Billie Jean inserts. So we're going to plow through this one, I think. Oh. Who's going to be the semi-finalist of those women whose names I read out and you may or may not have heard?
I think I'm going to say Badosa. I think she is in the best form. I mean, I know I've talked there about Kazatkina playing brilliantly, Vondroušová being dangerous. They're next on my list, but I just felt good about Badosa coming into this tournament. And as you said, she's bulldozed her way through today. So I'm going to stick with her. Herzog, by the way, did a watered down Medvedev US Open moment. Medvedev's "The Energy You Gave Me Tonight." She thanked the French crowd for supporting Caroline Garcia and getting her fired up to come back in the first set of that match. Sadly, it was way more polite than Medvedev.
Oh.
But
Catherine is just about to halt the recording. You want to look? Yeah,
but the message is the same.
David, who of those names is making the semi-final?
I do think Vondroušová could do it. I do think she could again. But Badosa, I agree with you. I mean, she's the form player of the year of those. So I'd probably it'd be between those two for me, I would say.
Yeah. Okay. I would have to agree. And my opinion is irrelevant anyway. See predictions record to date. The biggest, almost eye-catching women's match of the day involved Serena Williams. She won in three sets over Mihaela Buzănescu, another Romanian. It was a great match, so entertaining. I've written here on the agenda, she's not in title-winning form yet, I don't think. But I thought she was playing well. And she's showing gears, I think. She's showing that she has the gears to go to when she needs them. And I know she's not had a massive test yet. I mean, Buzănescu really raised her level in that second set and made such a fun match of it. I know she'll have sterner tests than this Serena Williams, but I've been cautiously quite impressed with her so far.
Just imagine if she did it here. Imagine it.
Today was the first day where I thought exactly what you just said. Wow, she might just do it here. And
just imagine that. You know, you got all the WTA Avengers rampaging around the place and coming out of your ears and you can't move for a tough draw. And then imagine if Serena Williams, when everybody's given up and thought that she's not going to get 24, imagine if she comes to the French Open that everybody assumes is just the sort of warm-up for Wimbledon and she goes and wins it and equals it and then goes and gets 25 at Wimbledon. Just imagine that.
I am imagining it now. I can suddenly see it. I still think it's unlikely at this stage, but definitely possible.
I love it when David gets carried away like that. Round two at Roland Garros. David's got her on 25 slams.
Two down, five to go, Matt. Two down and plus seven. So yeah. 12 to go.
No, but I agree. I think she's looking good. It was a fabulous deciding set today. Some of those rallies against Buzănescu were brilliant.
And sort of exhibition stuff, wasn't it?
And that's a credit to Buzănescu. She was anticipating Serena very well and moving and defending and forcing Serena to hit so many extra shots than she usually has to. I think she can be sharper, Serena, but for the first couple of rounds, this is very encouraging. And as you say, I think it's also a good sign that she's finishing these matches strongly. I remember last season, there was a pattern of Serena starting really quickly and then slowing down a little bit, and she lost quite a few deciding sets at the end of last season. She'd got rid of that at the start of this year, and I worried that it might come back, having not played much. But she seems to have built up that stamina and those gears, and very impressive. 14 deciding set wins in a row on clay. The last one she lost was the Rosano match.
Ooh, wow. Wow, so that's 9 years?
That's the sort of entire span of the tennis podcast, pretty much.
Goodness me. That
Serena has not lost a deciding set on clay.
That's... Well, yes, if you remember, the opening episode of the tennis podcast
I was steering us away. I'd drawn breath to steer us away from that, David.
Sorry, Catherine, I'm the one who gets humiliated in this. I'm the one who said in episode one that Serena Williams would win the title. Then in episode two, we had to say, oh, she lost in the first round, everybody. And 9 years later, nothing's changed.
9 years later, here we are. Incidentally, Daniil Medvedev, who's just retrieved his break in the second set, looks like he's got sunburnt during a night session.
Only Medvedev.
It's extremely bizarre. Yeah, so Serena's through.
Who's she playing?
She is playing Danielle Collins, who beat Annalena Kalinina 6-love, 6-2 today. And that is a match that I'm really here for. Serena Williams, she wasn't in the mood for post-match press today. In fact, she ended the press conference by saying, "I'm really tired, I've checked out." which is sort of great, really, the frankness of it. But kind of the best moment of the press conference, I thought, was the way she lit up talking about Danielle Collins. Really clear how much she likes and respects Danielle Collins, and I felt quite emotional hearing her say that, because I feel like Danielle Collins is taken the wrong way or rubs people up the wrong way. People don't get her. You know, and to have someone of Serena's stature get her in that way, I'd imagine that means quite a lot to Danielle Collins. And it was nice. I mean, I'm sure they'll be in one another's faces in 2 days' time, and I blooming hope so, because that's what I want to see.
What did she like about her? What was she saying?
Oh, she didn't go into detail, David. She was tired. She was tired.
She's her gal.
Yeah, I think she mentioned her competitiveness, as you would. And just said, you know, I've had the chance to spend a lot of time with her, and I think she said, I've got a lot of love for her.
What's the over-under on ear-piercing, fabulous screams of come on in that match? 5? I'll be disappointed if there's less than 5.
Yes. Absolutely. I want hunched over, bent double fist pumps with accompanying ear piercing screams. That's what I want.
We need it to be close.
Yes.
In order for it to maximise that element.
I think it might be. Yeah. I think that could be really good. Also through to round number 3, speaking of players of sort of that generation, that was a tenuous link. Anyway, also through to round number 3, Victoria Azarenka, she beat Clara Towson today, which I would rib you for predicting Towson would win that match, except I almost predicted it too, and you sort of swooped in and nabbed my almost prediction at the last minute, which...
I tell you, if that had happened, if Towson had won that, we would have brought that element of the show forward about 28 minutes.
I was really quite agitated about it.
Yeah, no, crikey. I was trying to stick up for you, Matt.
But Towson didn't win. I thought she played quite well, just not quite ready yet. And Azarenka, I always remember her being, you know, in her pomp, a bit of a disappointment on clay. Every year coming into clay court season, I'd sort of convince myself that there's no reason that she couldn't perform well on clay, and then she would just fall a little bit short. But she impressed me as much today as she ever has on clay, and okay, that's quite a low bar, but I thought she was good today.
Yeah, I thought she really enjoyed the challenge. I think Towson is a similar player. They're big hitters from the baseline, and Azarenka has sort of built a career out of being one of the absolute best at those. And here was a young challenger doing similar things. And they went toe-to-toe, and I think Azarenka got a kick out of coming out on top. And I think she does enjoy the clay more than she used to. I think it was last year's French Open where she talked about how she used to hate all the shitty bounces on clay. Apologies to David's mum for saying that.
Azarenka at last year's French Open was just an iconic moment.
It was all wonderful.
And she related to Daniil Medvedev, or just they just see things similarly.
But she's finally healthy again. I think she's had her start of the season interrupted, curtailed by some injuries. But she says she's feeling a lot better now. And yeah, I think it was an impressive win, two impressive wins, because Kuznetsova really pushed her in the first round as well.
Yeah, I thought she was very impressive. Kind of the last really notable result on the women's side of things today was a win for Aryna Sabalenka, but pretty handily over countrywoman Alexandra Sasnovic. Sabalenka now plays Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova, the proverbial banana skin, the professional Grand Slam quarterfinalist, as our Twitter master Hannah Wilkes called her. Earlier on this evening when we were looking ahead to that matchup, precisely the sort of matchup that Sabalenka of old at Grand Slams would lose, I think. I think this is the test of whether she really is Sabalenka 2.0 mentally, I think, as much as anything. And the signs are good, I think. She did a post-match interview on Longlen after her win today. Despite there being nobody in the crowd, she was a victim of the curfew coming in midway through her match. And she said, "Thank you all for supporting me." And then she looked up and around and said, I know you're not here anymore, but I hope you're watching this on the TV now that you're at home. It was quite a sweet, very sort of very now moment. But the final question that Cedric Pierlein asked her after some trouble with the microphone was, I can't quite remember the word he used. Are you really targeting something here? Is this the time?
Ambition.
Ambition.
The word.
Yeah. And she talked about how she's not playing her best tennis, but that doesn't matter. She said, you only play your best tennis 1 week a year, if you're lucky. And the rest of the time, you're just fighting and scrapping and trying to do the best you can and still win. I don't think Aryna Sabalenka a year ago would have said that. If it wasn't her day, Sabalenka, it was horrible. I'm not saying she wasn't competitive and didn't have any fight in her, but I don't think she had that will to play through the storms that she has now and the focus to do so.
And if there's one thing that top tennis players agree on, it's that an absolute key is winning when you're not at your best. Because they all know what Sabalenka's just said. There are very few days where you play your best. So many times you have to solve problems and be content to not quite be at your best, but still stay positive and win matches. And that is exactly what Sabalenka's done in the first two rounds here. I agree. I think it's a very good sign.
Is she in a sit-to-pass position where she's the heavy favourite? She's expected to reach the final from that half of the draw, or not quite?
Personally, I don't think I put her as big a favourite as Tsitsipas. You know, I don't think it's quite the same. I mean, partly because Serena's there. It does feel like her time to finally reach a quarterfinal or a semi-final, at least.
David?
No, I don't think she's done enough to convince that she's as reliable as Tsitsipas. I know Tsitsipas threw in that dud at the US Open last year, but he is more mentally there more often. That's what he's shown us so far. But I do feel like Sabalenka's made some major strides. She thrashed Pavlyuchenkova in Madrid the other week. But that was the week she was probably talking about when you play your best tennis once 1 week a year. Well, she's had that. Now what? So it's going to be very interesting, isn't it? Because and the conditions are so different. I mean, yes, she did win in straight sets today, but that first set was 7-5, and I think she was quite relieved in the end to push the accelerator and be able to race away from Šašnjević. I've got her going all the way, but like I said before we started this tournament, I also hovered over whether she might even lose first round. So she doesn't give me massive confidence in a prediction, but on balance, I find it hard to predict against her because of how well she is playing generally.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, speaking of Tsitsipas, he won today, straight sets over Pedro Martinez. He was very grouchy in his press conference. He came straight to press. And he was grouchy to the extent that he was asked why he was grouchy by Ubaldo Scanagatta. He's
not a grouch, is he, normally?
Well, no, exactly. Usually I kind of object to those questions. But actually, I had just commented on it in our group chat. It was quite notable from Tsitsipas. It was notable that he came straight to press without showering. He looked an absolute state. He'd just had a slightly weird on-court interview with Fabrice Santoro. I know that's nothing new for Tsitsipas, but he was asked about the great memories he has of the Longlen court, and obviously Longlen plus Tsitsipas for everyone, and definitely for Tsitsipas, equals heartbreaking loss to Stan Wawrinka 2 years ago, after which Tsitsipas didn't get out of bed for at least 2 weeks. And he just did this amazing Tsitsipas face and sort of said, you think I have good memories of this court? and then proceeded to do a glorious attempt at saying, and look, we're all struggling with how to pronounce Stan Wawrinka, because we've had to change course mid-career. But I'm not sure anyone has struggled like Tsitsipas did today. I'm going to need somebody to do their best impression of how Tsitsipas said Stan Wawrinka's name today. Someone step up. Come on, Matt.
The thing is, he didn't commit to it. He trailed off. He went... Stan Wawrinka.
I felt like I was there. I didn't see it, so I can't give you one, but...
It was sensational. Maybe that's why he was grouchy in press afterwards. Anyway, when pushed on it, he said, look, I just didn't play my best tennis today. Yeah, I won in straight sets, but I would have liked to have played a bit better.
Yeah, I think it was quite a deceiving scoreline. Mm. I think over 2.5 hours for a straight sets match, there were a lot of tight sets. He was certainly down a break early, and then he had a lot of trouble finishing the match. Pedro Martinez, who beat Sebastian Corda in the first round, I think is very much at home on clay and made it tough for Tsitsipas. And he's got a very different challenge in the next round. He's got John Isner, who he beat very handily in Acapulco this year, but all of their other matches have been tough, and traditionally he has struggled on the return from that big serve from Isner. And by all accounts, I've not seen any of Isner this tournament, but I think he's playing very, very well. So I think that's probably Tsitsipas's biggest roadblock on route to this final. I mean, literally biggest, but also game style wise, I don't think he will enjoy that.
Also, I feel like he's going to have to find a way to block out the noise over the next 10 days, isn't he? Because everybody's just assuming he goes all the way. I mean, there are good players in that half of the draw, and Zverev's in that half of the draw, Medvedev, who's playing well at the moment. You know, these are players that have beaten him before, but he is very heavily favoured to go all the way. And that brings its own pressure. I wonder whether he's able to block that out. I wonder whether he'll be able to deal with that. It's going to be quite an interesting little experiment, I think, over the next 10 days.
This might be an instance where living in your own world comes into its own.
Yeah.
Live in your own world, Steph. Stay there for the next 2 weeks. You mentioned Zverev there. He won today in straight sets as well. Another kind of deceiving scoreline. Two tie breaks in there against Roman Safiulin, who he pointed out afterwards was one of his contemporaries in juniors. You know, we might not be that familiar with him, although I considered him as a prediction last night and thus looked up his ATP bio. So I can tell you that his favourite band is Nickelback. despite him probably only being about 3 years old at the time that Nickelback released their one hit. Yeah, he said, look, I knew Safiulin's game really well. We were contemporaries and juniors. We played all the time. And he was tested today. There was a moment in the third set where Zverev went really off the boil. And because there isn't the foundation there of the big wins at the top level, you did just suddenly see it flashing before your eyes. Zverev in a fifth set, having led two sets to love up and looking comfortable. I thought he did very well to steady the ship, get it back on track and win in a tiebreak. He played very well in the two tiebreaks, incidentally. But
he does this all the time, doesn't he, Catherine?
Well, yeah, he does.
This happens.
And eventually he gets punished for it once he comes up against a higher quality opponent.
Probably should have lost a set today. And, I mean, look, Safiulin played well. I'm not saying he didn't play well, but this should not happen to players of this calibre.
No.
He should be just knocking these people aside. And maybe a tennis player might listen to that and think, oh, here we go, somebody who's never played the game, who doesn't get how hard it is, et cetera, et cetera. But we've seen enough other players be able to navigate these first few rounds without using up any energy and being better for it at the end. And I think that's where he lets himself down.
Yeah, hard to argue with that. Nishikori has done what Nishikori does. He's won in five sets, 6-4 in the fifth over Karen.
Talking about using energy up.
Khachanov, yeah. When asked what made the difference, he said, in that final game, I just tried to be aggressive. And it is unfathomable why he doesn't attempt to do that before the 10th game of the fifth set, ever. I mean, that's unfair. Of course, he does try to be aggressive. But come on, Kay. There's other ways to do this.
He said, I don't like playing five sets. I don't do it on purpose. It's like, well.
You just don't try not to.
He's always got a sort of goofy grin on his face as he says it, as if, actually, I do really. I quite like the stats building.
I mean, I'm here for Kei Nishikori to think, right, what can I cement my legacy at? I can be the best fifth set player of all time, and I am going to retire with that record.
Do you think when he's two sets to one up, that's what he's thinking?
I would love it if he is.
He's doing a Sergi Bruguera and think, I'll just give him this set and then I'll put him right where I want him. If he wants to go five sets in the next round, he'll have to do it against Henri Laaksonen. Anything
I'm sure he can pull it off, Catherine. I'm sure it won't be a problem.
Who beat Roberto Bautista Agut today?
Yeah, probably the biggest name to fall on the men's side of things today. I tell you what, I want to talk about Fabio Fognini. He won, and I know you're going to look at me like you're being lured into a trap here. You've been lured into a trap. He won very comfortably today against Martin Fucsovics. Now, full disclosure here, I didn't really see any of that match, but I did see Match Point, and I saw the scoreline, which is very one-sided.
Thank you for your service, Catherine.
His celebration in Match Point, he was so fired up. It really... Yes, Billie Jean. Yes, he was so fired
up.
Yeah, it really struck me, and it struck me enough that I went and looked at his draw. He's in the Rude Zverev section, and I'm not saying he's coming through. I'm just saying Rude and Zverev don't want to be playing him in this kind of form. This is a guy that's won Monte Carlo not that long ago, you know, in recent memory. They don't want to play Fabio Fognini in form. Discuss.
Well, I agree with you, but I just don't trust that we'll see that form. That's the problem with the bloke.
Oh, I don't this trust tournament. It.
No, I know, but that's
just
the
saying
thing.
Maybe.
He's so unreliable.
I know.
I saw some of the first set, and it went to a tie break, and it was really competitive, and there was an incredible atmosphere, and I think that Fognini really fired up. It was a very testosterone-y atmosphere, put it that way.
I think he's a big fan of testosterone.
I think
Fognini.
He is. It was his vibes.
So you're saying don't give him a night match in front of nobody.
So it was a very, yeah. It was the fired upness was very specific to the situation rather than Fognini coming to Paris going, I'm gonna rip this drawer apart and show them what I can do.
Given I have no other evidence to go on, I'm going to say it was specific to the situation.
Right. Great. Sorry. Okay. Well, bang goes the theory. Christian Garin, 8-6 in the fifth over Mackenzie McDonald, saw large chunks of this match. Curfew hit halfway through or in the latter stages of it. Such a shame.
5-5 in the fifth. And Garin's supporters, all these Chilean supporters, dutifully went outside the gates and then just stood next to the gate singing. They couldn't see the match because all the seats were in the way, but they just carried on their songs.
The commentator on the channel that I was watching said the noise was so loud from these fans, and he said initially, I think that's noise from another court, if you're wondering what's happening. And then there was this sort of pause, and then he goes, oh, wait, no, it's actually all the people that were in this court. that have just relocated to outside. It was extraordinary scenes. And, Mackenzie McDonald must be heartbroken. More than 4 hours that match.
He fought his heart out, he did. He was one of those where he's serving second in the set, the final set, all the way through, trying to hang on, and loads of 30-all games towards the end, and then he ends up losing 8-6. And there was a lovely moment, though, at the end where Garin scaled the seats so that he could look over the fence, make eye contact with all those supporters and give them a big thumbs up. And he was really emotional, clearly really touched by the way they'd stuck with him like that.
That's so nice. I love that.
Yeah, it was. It was lovely.
So that is part one of round two. How about part two of round two? This is the schedule for tomorrow in Paris. It starts on Philippe Chatrier with Ash Barty against Magda Linette. Then it's Karolina Pliskova against Sloane Stephens. A big yes please to that one. Then it is a Federer-Nadal doubleheader. Federer against Cilic in the day session, and then not before 9 p.m. local time, Nadal against Gasquet. I rather think they've scheduled that at a time when they think perhaps fewer people will be watching.
I nearly picked Cilic in the predictions overnight in the newsletter,
did you?
By the way. Yeah, very, very nearly.
Do you actually think he's winning that?
Well, no, I didn't go for it in the end.
But you think he might?
I think he could do, yeah. I think it wouldn't surprise me that much because he's played, I know he hasn't won many recently, but he's played a lot of tennis and Roger Federer's just played hardly any.
What would happen on the Did Marin Cilic Win Today Twitter account if he beat Federer?
It would retire.
Would it just say yes? Or would they say more? Would they elaborate? I think it's always capitals, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
TBC.
If he won Wimbledon, if he wins Wimbledon, it'll just say yes.
On Longlen tomorrow, it's Anne Lee, talented young American, against Alina Svitolina. I hovered over that because I know Anne Lee's really good. Saw a bit of her at the US Open last year, but then I realised everything we discussed about Svitolina, and she just delivers in the first week of a slam. Then it's Mikhail Immer against Guillermin Fils. I think, as we discussed yesterday, that could be really entertaining. Then it's Novak Djokovic against Pablo Cuevas. And then it's Annette Contaveit against Kristina Mladenovic. Court Simon Mathieu is where you'll find Matteo Berrettini against Federico Coria. Yannick Sinner's playing there. Fiona Ferro against Jennifer Brady. And Iga Świątek is last up on that court. And there's plenty more besides, but that's the pick of the matches on the biggest courts. What are we looking forward to tomorrow?
All of it.
All of it. Okay.
All of it. Yeah.
Actually, Pliskova-Stevens is the one,
yeah,
isn't it?
I think that's
a Grand Slam semi-final right there.
Yeah. Just a word on today. I spent a large portion of my day watching Coco Gauff and Venus Williams in doubles action together. The cross generational partnership, and there was a brief moment where someone in the crowd was singing "Born in the USA," so all my worlds were colliding. It was great.
What I was struck by during that match was how tall Venus Williams is. She made Coco Gauff look small. Anyway, yeah, Venus Williams is tall. Everyone. Bombshell to end on. Our mascot for this tournament is Lucci. Who's no longer with us, and Phoebe, both lovely corgis. Thank you, Lucci and Phoebe, for being with us for this roller coaster of a Grand Slam. Billie Jean hasn't covered herself in glory tonight. Sorry about that, Billie Jean King. Rogue, Zeus, Scousel Mousel, those are David's, myself, and Matt's mascots who have also been let down today. Chris Albert Lee is our executive producer, never a letdown. Is Chris Albert Lee. Who are our shout outs for, Matt?
Fiona McGregor.
Fiona. Like Fiona Ferro playing Jennifer Brady tomorrow.
Like Conor McGregor with that swaggery walk. Maybe Fiona's got one of those.
Maybe
not. Thanks so much for your support.
Michelle Fenlon. Fenlon? Not quite sure. Michelle.
Right, Michelle.
Hello, Michelle. Thank you for your support. Michelle Collins is a person.
I mean, Catherine, that is going back a long time to EastEnders 1990.
There were blank faces. Give me another Michelle. Pfeiffer. There we go. Yeah. Pfeiffer.
Yeah. How'd you spell that, by the way? Pfeiffer.
P-F-I-F-E-R.
How's that work?
German, innit?
Never really understood that, have you?
Last up, Matt. Who you got? Thank you for your support, Michelle.
We've got Domenica Marchetti.
Oh, hello.
Oh, like Domenica Sibyl Coba.
Yes.
Brilliant.
That sounds potentially Italian, do we think?
Yes, this is Domenica with a C rather than a K.
Love
and
that.
An E rather than an I. But yes, very much like Domenica Sibyl Coba.
Magnificent. Thank you so much,
Thank
Domenica.
Thank you for your support, Domenica. If you're not subscribed to the newsletter, sort yourself out and get yourself subscribed. It is brilliant. Matt toils away at it all day and it never disappoints. It's brilliant. I genuinely look forward to it landing in my inbox. Get yourself on that bandwagon. Tell your friends. Leave us an Apple Podcast review. And most importantly, tune in tomorrow for our Day 5 French Open Tennis Podcast. David, Matt, thank you. Hannah, thank you for Twitter. This sounds like the last podcast of the tournament, doesn't it? It's not. We're back tomorrow. We'll speak to you then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.